chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. While you're turning there, I do want to say that it's good to have my mom here. Amen. In service with us this morning. Amen. Praise God. This evening, we will be having service 6 o'clock, prayer 6:30 service time. We have a young evangelist who's going to be preaching in the service tonight. Looking forward to that. Amen. Amen. I'm looking forward to that. Praise God. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 1. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And I immediately was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne." Amen. There's so much in these two verses of Scripture, so many different directions that we could go, but I want to focus our attention this morning on that one phrase in verse number 1, where it says, come up hither. Come up hither. In our present day language, we would say that, come up here. Come up. Come up here. Amen. That's what the voice was saying to John. So let's pray and let's ask for God's anointing. Let's ask for His help in this service today. Lord, we thank You, God, for Your Word. We're so thankful, God, that You've given it to us and that You've given us understanding in Your Word, Lord. God, we ask that You would anoint it to every heart, to every need, to every situation, God. We thank You, God. We know that You're going to do a work in this house. We give You all the glory for it. We give You all the praise that's due unto Your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. If we were to go back to the beginning of the book of Revelation, and we're not going to go through all of this, but if we were to go back to the very beginning of this book, we would see and we would understand that this entire book is known as the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what John was given. He was given a revelation, and he was able to see things that you and I may not understand. If you read the book of Revelation, it can be somewhat confusing because there's things that we don't grasp. There's things that we don't understand. But we do understand that John was given a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. This man, John, would later become known as John the Revelator because God had given him revelation. Amen. It is widely believed that John was the only apostle that did not die a martyr's death. He was beaten. He was hurt. There were many horrible things that were done to him, but he was not killed for his faith. Amen. But instead, he did endure a lot of hardship. In the start, the book that we read in the book of Revelation, we find him banished to an island, the island of Patmos, which is where this revelation was given to him. And in verse 1 that we read, we see that John heard a voice. He heard a voice that was talking to him. He heard a voice that told him to come up hither, to come up here, so that he could see what was going to happen. He could see what was going to take place after the rapture of the church. Amen. The Bible says that he was immediately in the Spirit, and he was taken up to heaven where there was a throne. The Bible says there was one throne, not multiple thrones, not three thrones, not multiple various thrones spread out, but one throne. And it says that one sat upon the throne. Now remember, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So I wonder who it would be that he saw sitting upon that throne. Amen. John had come up to get a better vantage point. He had come up from where he was on the Isle of Patmos to get a better vantage point, to be able to see things more clearly. You see, he wouldn't have been able to see everything he needed to see from where he was on that island. He wouldn't have been able to see the great wonders that the Lord showed to him and that he wrote down and he recorded in the book of Revelation. Now, I realize that it doesn't compare, but when I begin to think about this, I thought about the couple of times that I've been to the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado, and it's a long ways up there. Amen. The top of that mountain is just over 14,000 feet above sea level. That's a long ways up, especially to those of us that live here in Kansas, where everything's very flat. Amen. I remember when I went up there the very first time and I was in awe of what God had done and the beauty that you could see for miles. Amen. You get up there and most times when you're up there, you can't even see once you get to the top of the mountain because you're actually above the clouds. All you can see is clouds. And I remember when our boys were a little bit older, much younger than they are now, but we took them and we went to a service. Or we went to the services there in Colorado Springs, but we went up and we saw Pikes Peak. We wanted to show them what we had found and this great view and this great treasure that Pikes Peak was. And I remember they got up there and they weren't really excited about it. All they could see was clouds, and they thought that was cool, and they wanted to go closer to the edge so they could see down. But Mom and I, we wouldn't let them get within 100 miles of the edge, and we would pull them back, and we got some good pictures. But it was awesome to be able to go up there again and to see things from a different vantage point. Amen. When we go up higher, we see things a little differently. If you've ever been up to the top of Pikes Peak, you know that as you drive higher and higher on those roads, that you can see more. You can see farther away. You can see towns that you were not able to see whenever you were at the base of that mountain. You can see farther below you. Now, if our vantage point at 14,000 feet allows us to see so much more than we were able to at ground level, imagine how much more John could see when he was caught up to heaven. When he was caught up to be with the Lord, looking down upon everything that was below him. Amen. What a vantage point. Praise God. What a vantage point. All of the things of this world, all the weights of this world and the things that distract us, he was rising up above these things. He was seeing them from the way that the Lord saw them. Praise God. Praise God. Sometimes when we're down low, we don't see a whole lot. Sometimes when we're in the thick of things, we don't see everything that we need to see. Sometimes we miss the forest because there's so many trees around us. It's so densely packed around us that we can't see the big picture. We can't see what it is that God wants us to see. There are so many things that in this world that can get you bogged down. There are so many things in this world that can distract you and that can keep you from seeing what God wants you to see. Praise God. But I want to tell somebody today, or several somebodies, that it's time for you to come up a little bit higher. Amen. It's time for you to come up higher. It's time for you to get a better vantage point. It's time for you to see things a little bit differently than you've been seeing them lately. Amen. Amen. It's time for you to get your eyes up a little bit higher than they've been and to see them the way that God sees them. It's time for us as individuals and collectively as a church to come up a little bit higher. Amen. And not just once, not just poking our head above the clouds for a little bit and then coming back down, but taking a step up higher and maintaining that level, and then taking another step up higher and maintaining that level, and taking another step up higher. That's the will of God. That's God's desire that we come up higher so that we can see things the way that He sees them. Praise God. Praise God. I want to tell somebody today, God is telling you, come up here. Come up here. He wants you to come up a little bit higher. Amen. But I want to tell you today, you're going to have to make up your mind. You're going to have to make the decision in yourself. Nobody's going to push you and shove you. Nobody's going to lift you up and shove you over the top of that fence. Amen. But you're going to have to make up your mind to heed that call, that when God calls out to you to come up a little bit higher, that you're going to say, yes, God, I want to come up to where you have for me to be. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not necessarily talking about heaven, although it'd be all right. I'd be all right with that if God called us up that high. Amen. But I'm talking about coming up higher as we're living in this old body of flesh. Coming up higher as we're still in this world. Coming up higher as we're going through trials and tribulations. Coming up higher as we're enduring hardship. Coming up higher as we walk in this world of sin and this world of distractions. Praise God. We need to come up higher. John chapter number 10 and verse 10. Turn there with me this morning. John 10 and verse 10. It says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Is that what your Bible says? Does your Bible say that they might have it haphazardly, that they might have life and that they might have it, take it or leave it, that they might have life and that they might have the worst of everything? That's not what my Bible says. It says that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief represents this world, the prince of this world. And what does this world want to do to you? It wants to steal, it wants to kill, and it wants to destroy. That's the goal of the prince of this world. It wants to steal your joy. Amen. Amen. It wants to steal your zeal for God. It wants to steal all your hope. Amen. All your belief, all your faith. It wants to wear you down little by little, piece by piece, trial by trial, until you just don't feel like you've got any strength left, until you get to the point where you feel like you don't have any fight left in you. Amen. And you can say amen, you've been there. Amen. But just I want you to remember today, the enemy wants to destroy you. The enemy, that's his goal, is to destroy you, to get to you to the place where you think that I'm not good enough or I can't make it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power. And you know what? You're right. By yourself, you don't have the power. Amen. But the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Praise God. The enemy wants to destroy you. Somebody needs to get a little bit of fire in them today and say, you know what? I'm not letting him destroy me. I'm not letting Satan win this battle, but I'm going to fight. Amen. I'm going to pick myself back up one more time, and I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord, and I'm going to come up higher to where he wants me to be. Praise God. I'm not going to let Satan win. I'm not going to settle for a humdrum type of an existence. Amen. Because my God promised me that he has life for me. Amen. And life's good, but he has life more abundantly. Praise God. He came so we could have life, but that ordinary life wasn't good enough. He came so we could have it abundantly. Praise God. Praise God. I'm not just going to settle for this ordinary life. God has abundant life for me. God has abundant life for you. God has something greater. God has something higher for you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do when you hear him call out to you? Praise God. Praise God. That word abundant, if you look it up in the original, and this is so awesome, it means superabundant in quantity. Superabundant in quantity. But it goes on and it says superior in quality. That's the life that God has for you. Not only does he want to bless you in quantity, but he wants to give you superiority in quality of life. Amen. And I can attest to that. Amen. The quality of life that we have when we live for God is so much superior to the life that we have when we live for ourselves. Praise God. It goes on to say that the definition goes on to say that it means excessive. It means violently. It means the advantage. It means exceedingly, very highly, beyond measure. It means more. I think you get the point. It means abundantly. Praise God. Praise God. God has more than a humdrum take it or leave it kind of life for his people. God has more than a take it or leave it kind of life for everybody under the sound of my voice. Amen. We all have to decide whether we're going to be content down here, whether we're going to be content down low. Amen. Whether we're going to be content where we're at right now, or if we're willing to come up a little bit higher. Amen. I wonder, is there anybody today that's wanted to come up a little bit higher in God? Praise God. I want to tell somebody today that you may feel like you've been knocked down. You may feel like you've been kicked while you're down. You may feel like you don't have the strength to get back up. Amen. And I've been there. I've felt like I've been knocked down to where I don't have the ability to lift myself up one more time. But you need to know that sometimes in order to go higher, we have to go lower first. Amen. That's just how it works. That's how God ordained it to be. I don't understand it all. But if you look through the Bible, if you look through the Word of God, sometimes that's how it works. Sometimes in order for us to go into a brighter light, we have to go through a deeper darkness. Praise God. And it's not fun. I'm not going to lie to anybody. Trust me, no one enjoys going through difficulty. Nobody enjoys going through hardship. Nobody enjoys going through a difficult time in their lives. Amen. I've been there. I've been in times where I feel like nobody knows what's going on. Nobody understands, and I'm carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. Amen. But I go, I've found that if I go to God in prayer, if I go to Him and I seek Him, amen, that He has the ability to bring me up a little bit higher. He has the ability to lift me up to a higher place. Amen. We don't enjoy darkness, but in the end, it can be good for us. Praise God. We don't like it when we're in the midst of it. But when we get through it, when we look back at it, amen, we can say, oh, well, that's how God was working. That's what God had in mind through this situation. Amen. Think about the story of Joseph. God had a plan for Joseph's life. Amen. And you know what? God has a plan for every person's life that's here today. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. He has a calling for what He desires in your life. God desired to bring Joseph up higher. He wanted to elevate him. But that's not what happened first. Amen. We're not going to go through all the scriptures, but if you know the story of Joseph, you know that Joseph first had to be betrayed by his brothers. He had to be betrayed. And I'm not talking like they turned their back on him. I'm talking like they threw him in a pit and they conspired to kill him. And eventually they lied on him. Amen. And they sold him into slavery. Praise God. I'm thankful I didn't have any brothers like that. In fact, if any of them were closer to that, it would have been me. Amen. But Joseph had to be sold into slavery. And then after he was sold into slavery, he was lied on and he was thrown into prison. He could have given up, but he didn't. He had to be forgotten before something was going to happen. But Joseph didn't have any intention on staying down. He didn't have any intention on staying downcast and lowly. He had no plans on staying in the state, but he kept trusting in God, and he kept listening for the voice of God. He wasn't where he needed to be. He was very, very low. The dungeon was so low. Amen. But he had his voice turned towards, or his ear, excuse me, turned towards heaven. He had his ear turned towards God, just waiting for the day that God would call him, waiting for the day that God would say to him, come up a little bit higher, Joseph. Amen. And we know the story. Amen. If Joseph would not have been brought down to rock bottom, he never would have been able to come to become the second most powerful man in the entire world. Praise God. But he had to go through a difficulty. He had to go through a hard time. Amen. But he was listening all through that time. He was listening for the voice of God. He was listening for God to say, Joseph, I have something more for you. Joseph, I have something higher for you. Amen. And you can't get much more low than the dungeon. Sometimes we have to hit rock bottom before we can realize where we really are. And we can realize how much we need to come up higher. Amen. What about the Apostle Peter? He was a fisher, the Bible says. He had a boat. He had a job. He was following in the footsteps of his family. He had something. He had something that many people didn't have. He had a career. And you know, there's something that's to be said about job security. There's something that's to be said about a sense of comfort. And Peter was comfortable. He had it figured out. No doubt he thought he had it all figured out. No sense rocking the boat. No sense going a different way. He's got it figured out. Why try something different? This is working for me. Why try something new? This is working for me. But God had something more for Peter. Amen. Peter was saying, you know what? There's no sense stepping out on a limb. But God said, Peter, I've got something different for you. Perhaps somebody here feels that way this morning. You've got things pretty much figured out in your life. You've got everything planned and programmed, and you've got everything the way that you want it to be and how you need it to be, and you've got it lined up A, B, C, D, and you've got subpoints, and you've got everything figured out. Amen. And you know what? I understand that. I do. But I'm telling you, you need to be seeing where God wants you to be. You need to be figuring out where God fits into this equation. You need to be figuring out where God's will fits into your program and to your purpose. Amen. God has a higher plan for you. God has something greater for you. Praise God. Amen. You know in your heart that you want God. You know in your heart that you desire God, but you're not sure how much you're willing to do or how far you're willing to go. Amen. And you know that's not an uncommon feeling. We don't like to get out of this comfort zone. We don't like to get out of what we know and what's comfortable to us. And whether you've been living for God for years or you're just starting out living for God, it doesn't matter. Nobody likes to get out of the comfort zone because there's comfort, there's peace, there's warmth. It's like you're snuggled in a little blanket and everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. Nothing can get to me. Nothing can bother me. Nothing, you know, if I rock the boat a little bit, I might get wet. If I rock the boat a little bit, I might lose my footing. If I rock the boat a little bit, I don't know what's going to happen. Amen. Praise God. But let me encourage you today, step out of the boat. If you read about Peter, amen, not at that moment when God called him originally, but eventually he got to the place where the Lord was out upon the water and he saw the Lord in the distance. And he said, Lord, if it be you, beckon me to come out unto you. And the same Peter that had been planned and programmed and had everything figured out in his life, he said, God, if you desire, let me come out unto the water. And the Lord said, come on. And Peter was willing to step out of the boat and step upon the water. Amen. That doesn't sound like the same man that God called so many months or years before that. Amen. But this was a man that was willing to come up a little bit higher. Amen. Nobody had ever walked on water. But God, if you desire for me to walk on water, that's what I want. Praise God. He's calling you today. Just listen for his voice. I want to encourage somebody, listen for the voice of God. He's calling you to come up higher than you've ever been before. He's calling you to come up higher. Amen. God wanted to make Peter a fisher of men, but the only way he could do that was if Peter was willing to trust and to follow him, not knowing what the future was going to hold, not knowing how it was all going to work out, but whatever God desired, God, yes, I'm going to do it. God, yes, I'm going to follow you. Praise God. That meant that Peter was going to have to leave that comfort zone. And he did. Amen. Amen. He trusted God and he believed him. In the Bible, we know that Peter became a great apostle for the Lord. He was the one that delivered the New Testament plan of salvation on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. He was the one of the three that was closest to the Lord. Amen. He was the one that said, I will never deny you. Amen. All because he was willing to get out of that comfort zone and follow God. The Bible tells us that there was a man by the name of Saul. And the Bible says that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a leader of the religious world of his day. He was very zealous. That meant that he with everything that was within him, with every bit of his power, he believed in God. And he had a zeal for God. And he had a desire to do the things of God. But we understand that he went about it the wrong way, at least in the beginning. But God had a higher calling for Saul. God had a higher calling for him. He desired to save his soul so that he could be a witness and so that he could reach out to the Gentiles. Praise God. To the outward appearance, that probably looked like a step down. Amen. Instead of ministering to God's chosen people, Paul was called to minister to the heathens. But Paul didn't look at it that way. He answered the call of God to come up higher, and history will prove that Paul was one of the most influential men in all of history. If you look at your New Testament today, amen, if you look at all the books in the New Testament, Paul wrote over half of the books of the New Testament. Praise God. Paul did. This man that Jesus called to this lowly place. Or at least that's how it looked. Paul could have said no. And you know what? We all have that choice today. We have the choice of when God calls us, we can say, you know what? I'm not interested, God. And we just stay at the level where we're at. We just stay on that same playing field, or in most instances, we go down a little bit. Paul could have said no. He could have turned his nose up at what God had planned for him. But Paul understood that God had a better vantage point than he did. That's why when Paul was riding on that horse, God had to bring him down lower than he already was. He had to knock him off that high horse. He had to bring him down to the ground so that then he could elevate him into the place where he wanted him to be. No matter how low you may feel right now, God specializes in bringing us up higher. No matter how difficult things may seem right now, God knows exactly where you're at. And He knows, and He has a plan for you moving forward. He has a plan for your future. Praise God. Psalm chapter number 40 and verse 1. Turn there today. I want you to see this. Psalms 40 and verse 1. It says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. David said this. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. When you're in your lowly place, when you're in that low spot, that's when you need to patiently wait upon the Lord. And you need to be listening. Yes, you're crying out to God. Yes, you're saying, God, you know where I'm at. You know what I'm going through. Amen. But you need to listen. You need to be listening for the voice of God. Verse 2 says, He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Praise God. It says, He brought me up. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. God can bring you up out of the low places in your life. God can set your feet upon a solid footing today. Amen. You've just got to trust in Him. You've got to be listening for His voice. And you've got to be willing to say, God, I want to come up higher. I want to come up to where You are. I want to come up to the place that You have prepared for me. Amen. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Most of us have heard this verse 1,000 times and we relate to it. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. We relate to that verse, don't we? Amen. We've all been laboring. We've all felt heavy laden before. Especially when we first come to God. I know that's how it was with me. When I first gave my life to God, I felt like I was carrying around a backpack that had lead weights in it, pulling me down. Pulling down, not only physically, but spiritually. I felt like I was so heavy and burdened by weight. Amen. I felt like I had been laboring for nothing, like nothing was coming out of my labors. I felt like no matter how hard I tried, no matter what I tried, amen, I could not get relief. And I tried everything. I tried so many different things. In fact, the more I tried, and the more I tried to figure out what I needed to do, the farther I got away from God, and the heavier that load became. And if I would get a little bit closer to God, it would lighten up, but then I would drift. And many people do this when they come to God. They give a little bit, and they feel that burden relieved off of them. Amen. They feel some of that weight relieved, and they're like, okay, I've got the strength now. I can carry on a little bit further. And then they go on down the road a little bit farther, and they end up in a lower place. They end up back where they started, or they end up more lowly than when they started. Amen. And they come back to God, and they say, God, I want more of You. I desire more of You, and that weight is lifted off of them. Amen. Praise God. I felt when I was coming to God and when I had that burden, I felt like no matter what I could do, I couldn't fill that void inside of my body. I couldn't get the rest that God desired for me. I couldn't get the rest that God had planned for me. I couldn't get the rest that my body and my soul so desperately longed for. Amen. But I want to tell you today, rest is more than just relief. Rest is more than just relief from the weight off of your body. Amen. Turn with me today to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 28. Isaiah chapter number 28 and verse 11. I want you to see this today because this is the rest that God has for us. This is the rest that God desires for each and every one of us. Isaiah 28 and verse 11. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people." Amen. Stammering lips is that stammering, that movement of your lips. Amen. When God's trying to move upon you and you don't understand it. You don't understand why you don't have control of your mouth. You don't understand why you don't have control of your tongue. And God begins to move upon you with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. But verse 12 tells us, it says, "To whom he said, this, the stammering lips, the another tongue, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing," oh praise God, "this is the refreshing," amen, "yet they would not hear." That's talking about the children of Israel, amen. But we can hear today. We have ears to hear the voice of God. This is the rest that God desires for you. This is the rest that God desires for each and every one of us. Amen. I wonder today if anybody here, if anybody under the sound of my voice, if somebody here is weary. Are you weary in your body? Are you weary in your soul? I wonder if there's somebody that's tired of carrying around a heavy burden today. Praise God. If you desire rest today, God is calling to you. And as it says in the Bible, it says, "He who has ears to hear, let them hear." Do you hear the voice of God calling out to you? Do you hear the voice of God calling out to you right now, saying, "Come up higher. I've got something more for you." If you desire rest today, God is specifically calling out to you. It's time to come up higher. God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you may say, "Well, Brother Reed, I've already got the Holy Ghost. I've already received the Holy Ghost." Amen. Well, that's all right. I need rest still. I need renewing. Amen. As it says, this is the refreshing. I need it. I need to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Ghost that I got yesterday and the Holy Ghost that I got the day before is not good enough to renew me and to refresh me and give me the rest that I so desperately need. Amen. But I need the Holy Ghost today. And let me tell you, if you've never been filled with God's Spirit, that's where you're going to find the rest that your soul so desperately desires. It's in Him. It's not in us. It's not in our talents. It's not in our abilities. No matter how strong we think we are and we try to convince ourselves, "I've got this. I can do this. I don't need help. I don't need anybody." Let me tell you what, you're just fooling yourself. You need somebody. You need God. You need the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Oh, hallelujah. You need the Holy Ghost. You need more of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you feel like you've reached the pinnacle of your walk with God, let me tell you something. You haven't even just begun. Amen. There's a higher place in God for you. There's more of God for you. There's more of His Spirit. There's a deeper touch of the Holy Ghost for you. Praise God. If you've already received it, you need more of it. I need more of it. We've got to come up higher in our walk with God. God desires for us not to stay stagnant, not for us to stay at the same level year after year, time after time, amen. But He desires for us to come up higher. Yes. Amen. Little by little, piece by piece, God wants to bring us up higher. Amen. Praise God. And you know what? This doesn't stop until we've made it to heaven. Amen. We're never going to stop pushing. We're never going to stop climbing. We're never going to stop striving to come up higher. Amen. And you know what? We might get knocked down a little bit, but we're going to pick ourselves back up. We're going to call upon the name of the Lord, and we're going to say, "God, I need you to bring me back up to that place I was before." Amen. Maybe you've been living for God for a lot of years. Amen. And maybe you've allowed yourself to get knocked down a little bit. Maybe you remember back to a time when you had a closer walk with God, where you had a closer relationship with God, and you've allowed yourself to drift away. You've allowed yourself to become stagnant. Amen. Let me tell you today, that's not God's will. God desires to get you back up to where you used to be, to that closer relationship with Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, God desires to bring us all up higher. Amen. We need a better vantage point today. Amen. Amen. We get confused. We feel like we're lost. We feel like we don't know which way we ought to go. We're running into walls. We're running into trees. That's because we can't see what's in front of us. Amen. But if we were to get up on top of the mountaintop, if we were to be able to get up higher, if we were to be able to go up into heaven with the Lord and to see things the way that He sees them, amen, our feet would not stumble, and we wouldn't be running into everything. Praise God. Praise God. I want to get up higher. I want to come up higher. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? Amen, amen. All of us here today have a choice. You know, that's the awesome thing about God. God is a perfect gentleman, and He will not force anything upon you. Amen. He will not. He won't force salvation upon you, although it's His desire that you be saved. He will not force the Holy Ghost upon you, although it's His will that you receive the Holy Ghost. He will not force you to seek a place of repentance, although it's His will that all come to repentance. And He's not going to force you to come up higher than you're willing to come up. You can stay where you're at, amen, for the rest of your life, and that's your choice. You can stay where you're at, or you can make up your mind today, I'm going to come up higher. Amen. I'm not trying to super spiritualize this. I'm not saying that we're just going to go to this realm in the spirit that we've never experienced before. Amen. But you know what? You know how you start getting to the top of Pike's Peak? One step at a time. Amen. If you're riding your bikes, as Brother Doug, Brother Hunter did, it's one pedal at a time. Amen. If you're in a car, it's 1 mile at a time. You're going up higher. You're going up farther. You're getting closer to where God desires for you to be. And it's going to be step by step, little by little. God has a higher place for every one of us here today. I want to tell you today that this altar is nothing to be afraid of. Amen. Don't worry about who's watching. Amen. And I mean that. So often we come to the altar, so often we begin to pray and we look around because we don't know who's watching and what they're going to think. Why would I come to the altar? Amen. If the man of God's preaching about sin and I come running to the altar, everybody's going to think I'm in sin. Well, who cares what everybody thinks? What does God think? He's the only one that I've got to please. He's the only one whose opinion matters. Don't worry about who's watching and what they might think. All that should matter right now is, do I hear the voice of God calling me to come up a little bit higher? Oh, do you hear His voice calling out to you? Do you hear Him, oh, calling out your name? Do you feel Him pulling upon your heartstrings today? And if you do, what are you going to do about it? Oh, why don't we stand together today? Praise God, I want to ask you, are you going to stay where you're at? Are you going to stay in your comfort zone? Are you going to stay doing the things that you've always done? Amen. Because if you do the things that you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. But I want to tell you today, are you going to heed? You need to heed. Are you going to heed to the voice of God? Are you going to come up to the place that He has prepared for you? God has something higher for everybody here today. Amen. This altar is open. Please, please come. Oh, come up higher. Come up higher in your life. Come up higher in your walk with God. Come up higher in your relationship with Him. Oh, God wants you to come today. Jesus, have your way, Lord. God, I love you.